This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
Good morning, H-Town. Time to go to work.
It's 2-2.
Called third strike, ball game over. Astros with a four-game home-and-home sweep of the New York Mets. Justin Verlander for eight innings. Ryan Presley for the ninth. They close out a two-hit shutout. Blummer coming into this road trip. You would have easily taken 3-3. 4-2 with a chance to win all six games. Kind of unbelievable. The Astros defeat the Mets all four games this year. The National League's best.
An absolute thing of beauty yesterday. Another gem tossed by Justin Verlander. My gosh, how much better could he absolutely be? Good morning, everybody. Sean Bajani with you. I'm going to have to like totally refresh your memories as far as like who the hell this guy is. But we'll get to that here in a second. I'm Sean Bajani. He is Brandon Scott. You can catch us on Twitter at Sean Bajani for myself at Brandon K. Scott. Brandon, first of all, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, Sean. Good morning. Good to be with you, man. This is like full circle for me because I've been listening to you for years. It's funny because I told a listener, we were at one of these remotes that we've been doing with the afternoon show, mm-hmm. Clint Sterner in the show, and I stayed afterwards. I was filling in for one of those guys, and I stayed afterwards, and I told one of the listeners that I was talking to that, hey, you know, check me out in a couple of weeks. I'll be on with Sean Bajani in the mornings. And he said, whoa. That's a blast from the past. I was like, yeah, you're definitely for sure a day one. I've been listening for a long time.
It's great. Like, full disclosure, I am 39 years old, okay? I'm 39, right. But yep, I have this, man. Like, did you just call me old man?
I said still a young man.
Okay.
Still a young man.
That was my point, like, literally.
Just your kids call you old man.
Well, I have one, and he's not old enough yet to, like, understand, like, that is a jab, you know, and a thorn in my side, potentially, but... You know, I get it from my wife and my in-laws and stuff like that. And a lot of my friends, obviously, are about to really, they're heating up right now because they've all just turned 40 this year already. I'll be 40 in October.
Right.
But I get that from everybody I work with, like, because I am an old soul, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, and people say I have like, old man opinions and I'm like the get off my lawn guy sometimes. You know, whatever. I was raised by my grandparents, so I have an excuse.
Well, it was one thing that was funny about you and Barry being the odd couple was like y'all were the odd couple for several reasons, but yeah. But Barry was the old man, and you were sort of in some ways the old soul or the young man with an old. He was like the old man with a young soul.
Yeah, I think
and you
that's
were like
Gavin,
a young man with an old soul.
That's probably how our old program director Gavin Spittle envisioned things, but maybe Barry rubbed off on me way too much.
Maybe so.
And so, yeah.
It's possible.
That is possible, and I think it's probable at this point. But, hey, this is my 16th year here at Sports Radio 610. I'm glad and honored to be able to, still do this here and looking forward to not just today. We're in tomorrow together.
Yep.
And pretty much all of next week, I think I'll be on July 4th. Is that a Monday? I haven't even looked at the calendar.
Yeah, I believe it is.
I have a 2-year-old, so like the days and times like mean absolutely nothing to me.
Oh, well, let me tell you, when they get older, it's not going to get better. Like the days are still going to jack you up a little bit. My youngest is 5, so it's the same thing.
Not necessarily needing to know what day it is. Like that's kind of a cool thing. And for, you know, fellow teachers and coaches out there that are on summer vacation, you kind of don't need to know anyway. You know, like you already have enough of that for 9 months. Like, it's routine, the day in and day out process of seeing the same kiddos every single day. But, you know, for, 2 months and change during the summer, you don't really have to care too much.
Well, and when you spend a lot of time around kids, they have even less of an appreciation for what day of the week it is.
Oh, they like don't care.
My kids never know what day of the week it is. It can be a weekday. They'll ask if it's Saturday. It can be Saturday. They'll ask if they're going to school, if they're going to church. They have no concept. Yeah. They know
they're
the
robots,
days of the week. They know the order, but they don't keep up with it.
They're robots that somebody forgot to program, like, the days and times into their minds. You know, like, hey, do you have a test today? I don't know. Hey, when do you take your STAR test? I don't know. Like, well, you're clearly not studying.
Right. Well, like in the summer times now.
Clearly not prepared for this.
In the summer times now, it's like, hey, do you need a backpack? I don't know. Because they're going to different summer programs. Hey, do you need a lunch? I don't know. And then, you know, 10:30, you get a text message that asking you to cash app somebody for, you know, a lunch for their little summer program because they didn't bring their lunch or whatever it is. I mean, no concept of time and date.
Exactly. Well, I'm looking forward to this week and next week. Like I'd said, you know, we appreciate you joining us this morning. Sean Bajani, that is me, Brandon Scott. Reminder, you can call and text in 713-57. Wait.
Yeah, that's it.
572-4610. You know what I did? What I've done routinely before. It's been almost 1 year since I've been on the radio.
713-572-4610 was the number you gave.
I almost gave out my cell phone number a couple of times. You know, and I have to check myself because it's very close. So
that's funny.
I've got to knock a lot of rust.
I don't think I've ever noticed that, you know, because we don't pay attention to numbers. I just have your number in here. So you're just Sean Bajani. I have no idea what your number would be.
Yeah.
But that's funny. I'd never noticed that.
You know, it's like a rhythmic thing. Like, I literally know 3 phone numbers.
Oh, yeah.
Like in my entire life right now, that's the station's, which obviously barely, mine and my wife's. That's it. I know nobody else's phone number, but 713-572-4610 confirmed. You can call or text, and you can also tweet at us at Brandon K. Scott, for Brandon on Twitter, at Sean Bajani, for myself on Twitter. We would love to hear from you throughout the morning. A lot of stuff going on, obviously, coming into the show. You heard the open, the final call of the game yesterday. That was Todd Callis, Jeff Blum. Courtesy of AT&T Sportsnet on that call. The Astros earning their second straight win yesterday, a 2-0 victory. Verlander was phenomenal again, Brandon. They're back home today for a one-gamer against the New York Yankees. I guess that series was so damn good. Like, the schedulers knew that weekend series was going to be, like, so epic that they said, you know what? You guys get an encore the following week.
Well,
so we get that today.
Yeah, well, this is in part the schedulers, but also in part, like, labor strife, because I feel like this is the lockout replacement game. Like, the somewhere in here is a lockout replacement game from the 2 weeks or whatever it was that was missed.
I think every team has that one weird quirky game or a doubleheader or a couple of doubleheaders, like, worked into their schedule, if I remember right.
And just remember how annoyed most of us common folks were, us regular people were, about the whole idea of the back and forth with Major League Baseball and their players.
And
the fact that, or the idea that we might miss some baseball and just kind of want them to get through it and figure it out. And the one good thing that came of it is some scheduling quirks that are kind of weird, but kind of fun, right?
It's cool. It has kind of like, you know, I remember old stories from my grandfather who played, you know, in the 30s and 40s and 50s. And, you know, he would tell me they would just rush through games, you know, like, yes, you would try hard, but, you know, you were literally running, like, sprinting on and off the field. And this is back in the day when they used to leave their, you know, gloves or caps, you know, in the field and things like that. They would sprint on and off the field because they knew, like, all right, we need to get this game over in, like, under 2 hours.
Yeah.
Because we got to catch a train to Philly or, you know, New York or Boston, whatever the case is. Like,
train.
Yeah, train. Like, figure that, right? Those things still exist.
Yeah.
Like, so it kind of has, like, that feel, like, you know, like, they're bouncing back and forth all around the country and things like that. But the fact that you've played, you know, look, a stretch of the White Sox, the Yankees, the Mets, and now the Yankees again for just one game. With the way that this Astros ball club is playing right now, you're on some of the biggest stages against some of the most talented players in all of sport. And look, they've taken their punches, obviously, with Judge's couple of walk-offs last weekend. The Astros have taken their swings. It's been tremendous to watch, like, real, really good theater. Almost.
Well, and not just that, Sean, but the timing of it, too, I think is huge. Because one of the things going into these games, I think I might have been on with Clint in the afternoon mentioning this, but they had not been tested really before now, or not much anyway. They had the fewest games against teams above 500 before the first Mets series.
Yeah.
So they had only played 15 games against teams above 500. They were 8-7 in those games, but only had played 15. No team had played fewer than 20, and I think it was even more than that.
I think the Yankees were probably leading everybody in games against.
By far.
Yeah.
By far. But at the same time, they had at least played a bunch of them. You know, the Astros were really the only team in all of baseball that had played as few of games against teams above 500 as they had. And then to come out against, again, the Yankees and the Mets in particular, the White Sox have been kind of a mess this year.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, that's a talented team nonetheless.
Yes.
But to do it against the Yankees and the Mets, the leaders in their respective leagues, obviously the Yankees having the best record in baseball right now, is tremendous. And the timing of it, it kind of showed you something, showed the Astros something themselves, to be quite honest with you. Like, they can tell you, they can be confident as they want to be, but this was the biggest test that they've had all season, and they've passed it with flying colors.
No question about that. We'll obviously keep you updated with the latest on Yordan Alvarez and Jeremy Pena after the two collided in shallow left yesterday in the eighth inning. Yordan carted off while Pena walked off on his own power, had to have some help. But according to Dusty Baker after that game yesterday, he said both of them wanted to stay in the game. So that's really encouraging news.
Yeah.
First pitch today at Minute Maid Park at 5:10. So I imagine over the course of the next really 5 to 6 hours, we'll probably learn something about their status for today. Wouldn't be surprised, since the travel, how quirky it was going from New York back here to Houston. They may both get the day off today, depending on the health status of those individuals. But we'll get to that. We'll also get to day three of the Deshaun Watson hearing. That continues today. According to ESPN's Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network, Watson's hearing began Tuesday, of course. It is expected to at least continue through today, and we will get to that next. What do we make of the Texans being named, Brandon, as a defendant in a lawsuit by one of Watson's accusers? We'll talk about it next. Sean Bajani, Brandon Scott at Sports Radio 610.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Welcome back. It's Sports Radio 610. I am Sean Bajani. He is Brandon Scott, in for Payne and Pendergast this morning, tomorrow, and all of next week as the guys enjoy some much-needed and well-deserved vacation as they get set to ramp up, and we're all getting set to ramp up for a Texans training camp, B. Scott. Like, it's right around the corner. I think we're inside, like, what, 70 days away from kickoff or something like that?
Yeah, for sure.
So we've got that to look forward to, and, of course, over the course of the coming weeks, we will, of course, discuss, like, all of the things why we should be excited more this year, clearly, as we were this time last year, and maybe even the year prior to that, at the Texans training camp, though the drama is still abound and surrounds us. And for a guy that is not ever going to play another football game here as a Houston Texan, in regards to Deshaun Watson, the third day of his hearing is continuing today. We'll hear from Ian Rappaport in just a second. It was like a little breakdown of what's to come, what to expect, and things like that. But the third day, I'm really sick and tired at this point already of hearing this judge's name, Susan L. Robinson.
Yeah.
You know, fantastic. Just give me, you know, the nuts and bolts, the meat and potatoes of this whole thing. What's going to be the punishment? What's going to be the ban? I think that's the question that everybody has on their mind and is wanting to know at this point in time, Brandon. And you know, we've heard anything from like an indefinite suspension to even no suspension at all. And I'm curious to know your thoughts, and you, the fans, 713-572-4610, 572-4610. You can call or text in. I want to know your thoughts on what you think should happen and how this like emotionally affects you for a guy who this all started when he was a Houston Texan. And now he has nothing to do with this organization, with this city, but we know we have, and rightfully or wrongfully, we have this emotion attached to this situation. And we either want him to face, you know, the harshness of the crime via the penalty, whatever that may be. And some of us are like, dude, I want to see the guy play football.
Yeah.
You know, where do you lie?
Yeah. Well, so, there are just so many different layers to it. Like if we just start from a local perspective, from a Houston sports fan perspective, if you care about, like, if you're a Texans fan listening to this station and you care about what happens to the team here, like, the obvious local interest is, hey, you want the Browns to be as bad as possible for the next 2 years.
Draft picks.
Because you have their draft picks, namely their first round draft picks. If Deshaun Watson's not playing for the Browns, that means that the Browns are not as good in theory, because they went and got him for a reason, right? They traded the first round picks and gave him all that guaranteed money for a reason, because he's a difference maker, right? So from a local perspective, I'm looking at it from just wanting to know how good are the Browns going to be as a football team. And then also, to be honest with you, I'm curious if Deshaun Watson is going to play in that game when the Browns come to Houston, and they face each other. Like, that would be a huge story, huge coverage for us as a station as well. Like, that'd be something that you want to plan out for, and something that I already thought about when the schedule came out, right? So like, from a local perspective, from local interest, it's there, right? But I think it's an even bigger story and an even bigger issue because of what we're dealing with, right? Like, the whole sexual assault situation, right? The seriousness of the matter at hand, the issue at hand, what's at dispute, whether he did or did not do these things. That in and of itself is serious enough, right? On top of the fact, obviously, that he's an NFL player. So, like, it's a serious story. But then also, the point that we're at now with all of these details, like you talk about, not wanting to hear every little bit about the judge and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
The big thing now, though, with the story is, what does the league do? Because this is the... Well, for one, this is a story unlike any that the league has ever dealt with. Like, you can't really compare it to Ray Rice or any of the other, like, domestic violence and crimes, alleged crimes against women that the league has
dealt with. Like, there's nothing.
There's nothing really that you can really compare it to. So it's like a flashpoint, an inflection point for the league as well on how it deals with, you know, punishment, dealing with these types of situations in a situation unlike any that they've ever dealt with. On top of the fact that they've had a history that could be criticized with how they deal with it. And then, as far as the judge goes, imagine that. Your first case that you deal with, they bring you in, they collectively bargain or decide to bring you in collectively, the league and the players, to deal with these matters because they've gone through so much heat on how they've dealt with it in the past. Rightfully so, and this is the one you get.
Yeah.
The one that's unlike any other, with details that are salacious and uncomfortable, and there's no real precedent. Like, good luck, judge.
Exactly.
So there's all of these layers from the local all the way up to the national that are, like, fascinating to just parse out.
But, you know, to your point, you know, how unique this situation is to the NFL, and this, there having been no precedents for the level of punishment that we could potentially see with Deshaun Watson in a case like this. These reports, you know, from the NFL reportedly recommending an indefinite suspension lasting at least one season for Watson. Yeah. Two, at the same time, despite insisting on that indefinite suspension, they want to avoid the appeals process. So, like, if Susan L. Robinson came back with, like, this punishment decision of, you know, 6 to 8 games, the NFL would take that. It's almost like, yeah, that's kind of like in between of what we were thinking anyway, i.e., we just want to get rid of this situation. We want to be done with it and move on and make this just about football. Like, they're not interested in the muddy waters, you know, messing around and getting to the bottom of really what happened. And we never do in these instances. We never do. You know, like, I almost feel like as media and as fans and just regular people, we always come out like as the idiots. Like, the ones that are just completely ill-informed, and we come up with these opinions based off of what we learn and what we're, the information that we're given, little nuggets here and there over the course of now 2 years almost, you know?
Right.
And it's like, well, what are we supposed to do? Because this thing looks like the most egregious, like, you know, crimes like that we've seen, you know, allegedly an NFL player, like repeatedly, possibly 66 times, like this guy's like a predator of some sort. And to, if there's no punishment levied and the guy's able to play football, it's like, what?
Yeah.
And you feel like ridiculous at the end of the day that you formed all of these opinions.
Well, I've tried to think from that perspective, because for me, so where I'm at on it, Sean, is that it's hard for me to imagine a scenario where there would be no punishment like that. That to me is almost off. It's pretty much just off the table, because the league, and we'll get to some of this from Rappaport, but just if you just pay attention to what everyone said and all the reporting, it seems like the league is fearful of and does not want to be too lenient on this.
Can't afford to.
Now, obviously, the judge is independent, right? She's not working technically for the league, but it's hard for me to imagine that with all the information that's out there and everything that we know, that and the position that the league is taking and whatever it is that they're, now we don't know exactly all of the things that they're arguing, but they've got the five cases that they're keying in on from all of that Deshaun has dealt with. To me, it's hard for me to imagine a scenario where there's no punishment at all. Now, the other side of it that you mentioned about the league not, you know, like wanting to avoid the appeals process.
Yes.
That to me speaks more to the whole, I don't want to call it a cop out, but the very whole reason why we have an independent judge in this situation to begin with. They're wanting to take it out of Roger Goodell's hands. Like, it can be prompted to put into Roger Goodell's hands if Deshaun Watson says, hey, you know, appeals, and then, you know, Roger Goodell gets the final appeal. But I think from the league's perspective, the league is the one that's recommending the 1 year suspension, and then the league, being Roger Goodell, would be the one that decides the appeal. So they're trying to avoid the appearance of basically, you know, having their own self-fulfilling prophecy. Yeah, I wanted a year. The judge gives them 8 games, and so now I appeal to myself. I think Mike Florio might have even mentioned that. I appeal to myself, and now I give him the 1 year. I think they want to avoid the appearance of bias and impropriety there on the appeal, so they would prefer to just go with whatever it is that the judge
says.
They
want to get rid of any negative optic possible going forward. I wonder if there is a way that Roger Goodell could come out of this thing in the league in large, like they look like geniuses. They look like the hammer. They look like they're absolutely going to set precedent for this kind of thing never happening again, and they can't certainly control that. But if in fact it does, here's going to be a very harsh penalty, regardless of what Susan L. Robinson rules, whether it be today or in the coming week. I have a feeling it's going to be probably sometime early next week. You never know about a Friday news dump. We might get something tomorrow. I don't know. But I have a couple of questions for you, and I know we have some callers that have opinions on this as well. You can join in. We got a couple of lines available, 713-572-4610. He's Brandon Scott, Sean Bajani in for Payne and Pendergast. More with Watson and why the Texans being named in this lawsuit by one of Watson's accusers could be really damning for them. That's next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
In for Payne and Pendergast this morning, I am Sean Bajani. He is Brandon Scott. You can hit us up at 713-572-4610, 572-4610. You can call or text. We'd love to hear from you. You can hit us up on Twitter as well, at Brandon K. Scott, at Sean Bajani for myself. Appreciate Ben Gary producing as always. Thanks for joining us this morning. Deshaun Watson's hearing continues today, the third day of the trial. It could be the last day, according to Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport of ESPN and the NFL Network, respectively. It's expected to continue at least through today. So we know that's happening. Is it going to be a Friday decision? Is it going to be something that's mulled over the weekend? That's what I would presume. I think it could be a very busy week for you and I, and just the media in large part, all of next week, Brandon.
Yeah.
If I'm a betting man.
Yeah, no, if you have Watson fatigue, I feel for you. Like, I think you were saying this earlier, Sean. I think everybody just wants to find out. Just tell me what's going on.
I don't have fatigue per se. I have 2 years worth of stuff that has been, you know, in my mind and just bothering me. Like, you know, from a sports fan's point of view, like emotionally, like that I'm ready to unleash.
Right.
Like, yeah. I haven't been on the radio in a year, so like I haven't had a chance to talk about this stuff with you guys.
Yeah, that's true.
I want to know thoughts. I want to know feelings. I want to know emotions. Like, yeah, I know from a Texans point of view, like there's a sour taste in our mouths still with everything that has transpired over the course of the last four seasons, really, within the front office especially, and those that still reside there,
right.
And even the face of this organization via ownership. I know that is a really poor taste in a lot of people's mouths. I know what it is in mine. But at the end of the day, I feel like we're all ready to play football and to watch games that you actually may have a chance of winning more times than not.
Yeah, well, Sean,
last year at least.
What's interesting about being in this space right now is that two conflicting things can exist at the same time when it comes to the Texans and local football. Like, yes, it's the case that it ended in disastrous fashion, the last iteration of the Texans that were competitive and worth watching. In the last 2 years, and probably this year too to a large degree, but the last 2 years have been non-competitive and rough to watch, you know. But at the same time, they got these draft picks. You know, the GM, for, you know, seems like he's got at least a sense for, he at least seems like an actual GM as opposed to the situation that they had for a couple of years. Now, we can pick apart his moves and all of that, and we, of course, will over time. But it seems like you are closer to normal now than you were a couple of years ago. But at the same time, all of this stuff with Watson is very much a reminder. It's very much a reminder of the chaos that you were dealing with before, and that it's even more pronounced. Like, the issues that we were talking about in 2020, think about that. A lot of the stuff in the lawsuit is from 2020.
Yes.
And the things we were talking about Texans-wise in 2020, now obviously we're dealing with stuff on the field mostly, but we're talking about DeAndre Hopkins getting traded. We're talking about we had just come off of the Jadeveon Clowney trade. Bill O'Brien is gaining power unnecessarily within the organization.
Yeah.
You know, Jack Easterby gets hired and then there's conflict there. So, like, you've got all of the stuff that we
JJ
were
leaving.
JJ leaves, you know, after the 2020 season. So you got all these things that we were dealing with that we were talking about. Deshaun Watson got paid in that time, right? We're dealing with all these different things that were happening and we weren't talking about any of this. Like, this, all of these things that we're dealing with now with this suspension, or at least the suspension that we think is going to happen, was happening in the background unbeknownst to us while we were dealing with other chaos.
And the timeline of all of those things, and there are many, many more that you didn't mention. I mean, we need a lot of time to really go through everything that we just scratched our heads and wanted to, like, punch our car radios or TVs at, you know, for hearing and seeing.
Yes.
But the timeline, I think, is one of the most frustrating things to piece together and look at in large, which is what I did last night, and I got really angry, but I think is worth exploring later. For the reason being that you want to see, like, yeah, look at how far we've come, but, man, how much further do we have to go before we can really put this behind us as fans and move on and get ready to watch, like, competitive football, you know, because at the end of the day, that's what it all comes down to. 713-572-4610. Let me get out to Russell, who's been waiting in Pearland. What's up, Russell? Good morning.
I am so, so, so sick of hearing about Deshaun Watson. I really, maybe your advertisers ought to know this. Every time I hear you say Deshaun Watson, I turn it to music. I don't listen to sports radio anymore. I get in my truck in the morning to go to work, and I'm hoping to God there's some sports news besides this Deshaun Watson crap. And as long as there is, I listen. But as soon as I hear that, I turn it off. I listen today because I got a chance to call in and tell you. It's just, I'm so sick of it. Yes, I need to know what the suspension is. That takes about 2 minutes. How many hours and hours and hours of airtime has been devoted to somebody that doesn't even want to play here?
That's a fair question, and I appreciate, you know, that call and that opinion because I asked for it. Like, I want to know your feelings, and I imagine, like, if that's at least 50% of the population's opinion. Like, they're tired of hearing about it. They want finality. They're ready to move on. We all are.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, I think about this all the time. Like, at the end of the day, this is sports and it's supposed to be enjoyable, but, you know, it is, there is it's business. We're talking about millions and millions of dollars. I don't have to go through the whole thing, but these things happen and this is drama and we love drama. Like, you love drama, Russell. Like, don't lie about it. Yeah. Like, you love the drama. Like, now you're ready for finality because, you know, we're talking about like so much stuff and having to like just rehash a lot of things that have occurred over the last couple of years. And look, your fandom has probably been stricken a little bit, you know, over the course of the last couple of, like, I know for a fact mine has, like, yeah. It hurts me because this is my football team and I feel like a lot of people feel this way and we've been drug into this mess right. For a guy that doesn't live in this city, doesn't play for this team anymore. But it clearly is still affected by the outcome of this potential punishment and the future performance of the team that he may still end up playing for in the Cleveland Browns one day.
Yeah, and
we have to talk about that stuff.
Yeah, and really,
I want to talk about that stuff.
When it comes down to it, this is the time where sometimes in media, the thing that you want to talk about or the thing that you want to cover and the thing that you're supposed to talk about and the thing that you're supposed to cover might conflict. Like, even if we came in here and said, hey, Sean, Brandon, like, we talk to each other and say, we don't want to talk about this, we would be negligent. This hearing is going on this week. Yeah. So, like, there have been lull times in the Deshaun Watson coverage when nothing was going on, when nothing was happening, but stuff keeps happening and it's relevant and it's really not necessarily about what we want. It's about what's happening. Like, so there's a journalism component mm-hmm. to what we're doing. We're mm-hmm. doing entertainment, but we're also doing like a little bit of journalism as well here. And the fact of the matter is, it's like when you ask the questions, you don't always get to pick the answers, right? And or you actually don't get to pick the answers.
Right.
And so that's kind of what the deal is.
We usually don't get any answers.
Usually don't get any answers. But what I'm saying is, it's like we just cover the stories. Mm-hmm. Like if it was up to us, and I'll even speak. I know you're sitting right here, Sean, but I'll even speak for you in this situation.
All right, let's see.
If we could choose, none of this would have ever happened. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
If we could make it be that none of this stuff ever happened, and we could just talk about how good the Texans are or how bad the Texans are, and not have it be in between this sort of moral issue to have not happened. If these things actually happened, and I don't know that they did, but if they actually happened, I damn sure hope that they didn't. Because I wouldn't want the women to go through these things.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want any of these things to happen.
Of course.
So I would rather, not only would I rather not be talking about it, I'd rather it not ever even freaking happen.
Yeah, but you know the interesting.
But it did, or it is at least alleged to have happened.
You're right, but and the so interesting like psychological, societal thing about that is and it's really a moral thing. Like, I think we've probably all been through like the gamut of emotions.
Yeah.
I've kind of been here, you know, and it's like, yeah, you know, where there's smoke, there's certainly fire. And, you know, now we've seen like this gigantic plume of, you know, 66 women, 25 lawsuits or 24, whatever it's been. And there's still five outstanding now that could potentially go to, you know, trial next year at some point. We'll have to wait and see. And maybe according to Busby now, you know, there could be many more.
Yeah,
you know, lawsuits coming.
We got a whole new angle of it now because the Texans are involved.
It's like
the Texans have been sued, by the way.
They've like, been
people,
sued.
People want to talk about why are we talking about this, and we are going to talk Astros and Rockets throughout the course of the day. But the Texans have been sued in this thing.
Yes,
Sean.
They've been sued. It's a lot to parse through, and they're, you know, for me, a guy that has just had this buildup over the course of a year plus. Like, it's hard to parse through. I'm trying my best. But I've been through the emotion of like, yeah, I wish this wouldn't have happened. But I'm also like the thought like ignorance is bliss. Like, I just wish we wouldn't have known about this stuff. Like, I wish Bill O'Brien wouldn't have been such a jackass, you know, and I just wish, you know, Cal would have done a better job of, you know, if he's going to step in front of a microphone and a camera, be a better face, a better representation of an owner of an NFL team and somebody that, you know, the fan base can, you know, respect easily, more easily, you know, things like that. We wish a lot of those things because at the end of the day, like, we have a sense of pride in our team. We want to have a sense of pride in our team. And it's just a building process now towards that of actual sports, actual football and entertainment. This muddies the waters and it drags it down. Yep. In regards to finality, Ian Rappaport had a report on that yesterday. Take a listen on what type of punishment the NFL is interested in levying.
Remember, the NFL is still, as of now, pushing for an indefinite suspension for a year. And obviously, what they are arguing is that Deshaun Watson had multiple violations of the personal conduct policy, basing it on the cases of five women, four of which the league interviewed. Deshaun Watson's lawyers and that of the NFLPA are arguing for a far shorter suspension, perhaps even no suspension. We will see if in somehow, some way, there could be some sort of meeting in the middle, or perhaps more likely await the ruling of Judge Robinson, potentially in a couple of weeks.
So that for me and Rappaport yesterday and just falls in line with what we were talking about. The NFL is probably hoping somewhere to meet in the middle if it's a 6 to 8 game ban. Those are numbers that are just kind of thrown out, I think,
yeah.
In terms of hope. But you did mention, Tony Busby naming the Texans in a lawsuit by one of the accusers. And look, my observation here on this, Brandon, is that Busby's already had to deny rumors of collusion over the course of this saga that has played out. Correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think mentioning the Texans in this new lawsuit, or one of the latest ones, is a decision by Busby to use stronger verbiage rather than just say, like, quote, Brent Nakara, former Secret Service agent, who is the Texans' director of security. Am I right or wrong in that assertion? And I bring Nakara's name up because he was the one that, you know, allegedly supplied Deshaun Watson with the non-disclosure agreements. And I don't know what individual or individuals allegedly supplied Deshaun Watson with a massage table to use at his home or to use at the Histonian. But is this just another way? Like, is this a stronger way to say the Texans versus, rather than using individuals' names, affiliated with the Texans?
Yeah. So he names names in the lawsuit, and Texans is proxy for the names that he names, right? So Brent Nakara that you mentioned, yeah, as the head of security for the Texans, who provided the NDA. Roland Ramirez is mentioned quite a bit, and I think he's really even more so the central figure. Roland Ramirez is the director of player care and medicine, mm-hmm, I believe. So basically the kind of like the head trainer, head of the training staff. He's the one who the contracted massage company, Genuine Touch, that, yeah, the Texans use, he's the one that basically they report to. So this lawsuit is about, to me, about much more than that. They're trying to paint a picture of, These are the things that were happening that the Texans probably perhaps at least should have known about under their own watch. Deshaun Watson, like the lawsuit puts in there that Deshaun Watson was having sex with a couple of the massage therapists from Genuine Touch. It puts in there that the owner of Genuine Touch told Roland Ramirez, the head of player care and sports medicine, that Deshaun was reaching out to random women on Instagram,
right,
for massages. They include Brent Nakara, as you just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're trying to paint a picture of sort of and piece together a timeline of what was known while all of this was happening. But I think more than anything, though, like the Texans, the institution is sort of the target here. I feel like the pattern that Tony Busby has been on, from Deshaun Watson to the NFL at large and the Texans, is trying to take down some sort of powerful institution or powerful person that he feels, and from their position, abuse said power or said privilege as an institution or as a celebrity in Deshaun Watson's case.
Yeah,
So I think that's what's going on. Like, yeah, to answer your question, yes, but not just Brent Nakara. That's just one. That's,
yeah,
just
other individuals, yeah, affiliated with the Texans.
Right. All of the ones who are affiliated with the Texans that they name in the lawsuit.
I think the decision and the ability to be able to use Texans, the organization, in this lawsuit is absolutely huge.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know. We don't know Busby's real intention here.
Right.
Like, you always want to go as big as you possibly can.
Right.
And you know, look, get at the end of the day what is right for your clients.
Yeah.
You know, what you feel is right for your clients. I thought about this. I saw this a while back. Like, and just as an example, But in terms of like what teams know about their players and the goings on and just maybe lack of trust or just assurances that they're taking care of their business and nothing falls back on them that they may be liable for or responsible for in the future. Like Rob Gronkowski, for instance, with the Tampa Bay Bucks, like there was a report like I saw a couple of months ago, and it maybe even goes further back than that when it first became public knowledge, but that they were requiring Gronkowski to send them video during the offseason of him doing his workouts and running sprints and stuff. Yeah. And it was kind of like a tongue-in-cheek, like, ha-ha, yeah, Gronkowski got over on them. You know, he wore different shirts on the same day doing the same sprints and sent that in. It was like, yeah, see him doing the workouts. And yeah, he got away with it or whatever. And now it's ha-ha because you won a Super Bowl and you retired. But, like, these things probably happen, I would have to gather, like, all across the league, not just in the NFL, but with teams and contractual obligations, you know, for meeting weight requirements or, you know, things like that. They want to know what their highest paid athletes are doing to take care of their bodies when they're outside of team control in an offseason.
Yeah.
And for a guy that literally, you know, months prior had become, was really already the face of your franchise because of his performance as his rookie season, but gets his 4-year, $160 million deal in like what, September of 2020?
Early September, yeah.
Right?
First week of September.
And firsthand knowledge, at least according to the Texans that they made in a statement, they first learned about these allegations in like March of 2021, I believe, or something like that.
Well, that's when the lawsuit was filed.
That's when the lawsuit was filed.
They're saying that Roland, that, so there are a few things here, and I'll just try to lay this out real quickly. Roland Ramirez is a key entry point because he's got three instances in which he supposedly got information about this whole thing, or about at least some element of it.
Mm-hmm.
Told by the Genuine Touch owner that Deshaun Watson, in June 2020, okay, so this is before the contract, during the pandemic, June 2020, told by Genuine Touch that Deshaun Watson is reaching out to random unqualified strangers on Instagram, which unqualified strangers is actually a hell of a quote and a hell of a characterization when you think about all of this in its totality. Unqualified strangers working on Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
The head of the massage company that they contract told their director of player care in sports medicine that this was happening in June 2020.
Mm-hmm.
That same person who received that information also saw him and knew of him taking massage tables from the facility, knew that that was a thing. That same person also, via Jack Easterby, supposedly set up a room and an account for Watson at the Houstonian, and later the general manager of the Houstonian complained of the number of women that were coming in there. So Roland Ramirez has three points of entry of being, according to the lawsuit, being told something that happens. And then on top of that is the Brent Nacar thing with the NDA, which happens in November of 2020. So a couple of months after the contract. So here you have, what's that? June to November, quick math. That's a, here in a 5-month span, you've got the head of your training staff,
yes,
having three points of entry of information here, finding something out. And then your head of security providing an NDA and knowing of a woman that supposedly is trying to say that she's going to expose Deshaun Watson and placed his personal information on the internet.
And does it stop with them? Like,
right.
And that's what Busby has to prove if you name Texans in this lawsuit rather than just those couple of individuals. Like, how liable are the Texans going to be because of those two individuals' actions? And
yeah, your head of security and yes, your head of sports medicine.
Yes,
yeah,
yes. Yeah. And that might be a very a difficult thing to prove, but it's going to be interesting nonetheless. And I think it's an interesting follow going forward, but hopefully we have some finality to this Deshaun Watson hearing, which picks up again today for day three of the hearing process. We'll roll into the 7 o'clock hour. Sean Bajani, Brandon Scott in for Payne and Pendergast. Coming up next, Astros continuing to roll, but recent success for one individual may present an interesting situation for the team going forward. We'll talk about it next. Sports Radio 610.
Sports.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.